Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. And we come, Lord, to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We come to praise you. We come to worship you because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be worshiped. And Lord, it is through this worship time that we can walk through those doors, Lord, that sometimes we close, Lord. Sometimes we're the ones that maybe for whatever reason we might form a little wall, Lord, that keeps us from being free to come before your throne. And we ask, Lord, that you would just demolish those walls, the smallest that maybe could have been built, Lord, because we come, Lord, before you. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will flow in this place, Lord, through each one of us, Lord. Each one of us has something today that we brought. And so we ask, Lord, that this would just flow through us, Lord, that your Spirit would just touch each other, Lord. Be like an electrical current, Lord, that just goes through this whole place, Lord. Touches everyone, Lord. Your Holy Spirit will flow, and we thank you, Lord, that you never leave us where we are, Lord. There is new revelation every day, Lord. May that be so this day, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. And Lord, we just ask that you would receive our worship and praise today. Yeah. Amen. Let's do it.
You know, gang, I've wanted to say something before we do this song. The older I get, the more it seems that God is calling me. He's calling me to do one thing, really, and that's to press into him. Get closer to understand everything about him so that when things go awry, we've got some way to communicate to other people and tell him it's okay. God's got this. He does have it. He says that the wicked will perish, but the righteous will be saved. We'd be watched over our God, and he's calling us to do one thing, is to move on. Move into him more. Become the man of God you are supposed to be. Become the woman of God that you're supposed to be. That he's called us to, right? Amen. Amen.
The last few weeks, I've been thinking about all this. Sometimes it's almost like God is making you skip rocks to go to your next destination, you know? It just seems like he's making a way, but it's not always clear. And when we were singing these songs this morning, I was thinking of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling, pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And I just wanted to read a poem I wrote not too long ago about how dark the world is getting. When all around seems darkness, don't struggle to move on. start singing to the Savior and put your high beams on. He wants us shining for Him, guiding others to the way. So turn your high beams on and brighten up today. Make sure to not spread darkness. There's enough of it around. Just shine and glow for Jesus. Then you're on solid ground.
So I had to give a praise report this week. And I have to tell you, when I came here Thursday, I was a mess. I was emotionally drained. I was a wreck because my niece is in Cape Coral, Florida. And Wednesday, we had the hurricane. And they couldn't evacuate because he's a first responder. And Nomi and I have tickets to go there November 6th because I'm going to meet my two great nieces. And so Wednesday was the hurricane. They were having tornadoes. I was literally in tears at lunch. I was so anxious. I wasn't casting my cares. I was being so anxious and not putting my faith and my trust. And it was getting me nowhere. I was a mess on Wednesday. And even my daughter had a down microburst in Sahuarita and flipped up the swing set and everything. So everything seems so turmoil and chaos on Wednesday. And Thursday night, I come here and these are the songs. These are the songs in the anxious imagination, you know, all these songs. And here it is to just be calm, you know, and I can't tell you enough how great He is. And it reminds me of Isaiah 40:31, when we wait upon the Lord, He will strengthen us and we'll be like eagle's wings. We'll mount up on eagle's wings and we will run and not weary and we will walk and not faint. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to not cry on Wednesday. I needed to give God all the glory and praise that He would protect them. And that in the midst of 120 tornadoes, in the midst of 3 million people without power, he's got blessings in there. He's working. He's with them. He's protecting them. He's guiding them. So I had to remember that. And these were my songs. And this is how He was able to calm my anxious heart. You know, I was literally in tears on Wednesday, and I needed to remember He had me all of my life. Why am I worrying now? So cast your cares.
Hello, good morning, church. I want to say two things. God bless pastors. God bless elders, deacons, greeters at the door. God bless husbands. God bless soldiers all over the world standing in the gap for us, policemen, firemen. God bless pastors' wives. Today, I understand it's Pastor Appreciation Day, if you're willing. Could you give him a high five, hug his wife? Could you smile at him? Could you say thank you for the time you did this, that, and that? And even if you can't think of anything dead, he did it for me. And I'm a newbie. So if you can find something, give him a card, anything. Take him out to eat, anything. Now, the reason I say that is my dad was a preacher. He much of the time felt unappreciated. He'd bring that home, and this little girl felt unloved. So what I'm saying is I realize my blessing comes from the Lord. So this morning, Genesis 32, and it talks about Jacob, who his whole life, his name was basically, hello, my name is Swindler. Hello, my name is Thief. Okay, what? They named me what at birth? And unfortunately, he lived by it. And then eventually he got to a place that he wrestled with the Lord. And he wrestled an angel. Now, I don't know if you feel like you've been wrestling something. You've been wrestling with, where's my blessing? You're in wrestling with, you know, God, where are you? God, I can't feel you. God, I can't see you. God, I can't hear you. But Jacob downright got in there and said, I'm going to wrestle with the Lord. And the realization was, angel said, what's your name? And he went, Swindler. And he realized he'd been living the curse instead of the blessing. So the Lord did it for me. He'll do it for you. He'll give you a new name when you're born again. He'll make you no longer have a past. You don't remember the past. Nobody can pick up the past. Nope, it's in the sea of forgetfulness. So when he did, they changed his name to Israel.
Yes.
So anytime we say the name Israel and we put a curse on it, we're cursing ourselves. There's a little bit of Jewish blood in all of us because we're related to Adam and Eve. So anytime you say the word Israel, that's his new name. So if anybody calls me by the name the Lord gives me, which is Paula Joy, they know I'm whiter than snow. I'm not that old person, and neither are you. Don't listen to any other voice. He's singing songs over you. He's smiling down on you and saying, "That's my girl, Becca. That's my boy, Pastor Henry. That's my girl, Pastor Rosie. That's my girl, Pastor Linda. That's my girl. That's my boy. That's my girl, Christy. That's my boy, Sean. And I know how far he's come. Don't look back. Never look back." Jacob became the namesake for the whole tribe of Israel. And he was forgiven. So if you can smile somebody, hug somebody, laugh, take somebody out for a cup of coffee, I'm saying today in the name of Jesus, I take the curse off the blessing. The curse means that Jesus isn't enough, the blood isn't enough. Oh, it's more than enough. It's enough for yesterday. You're going to make me cry now, Lord. It's enough for today. The blood of Jesus is enough for tomorrow. If anybody spoke a negative word over the word Israel, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit of the Bible, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you know who the people are? We are. And when we step up and speak words of life, Becca feels pretty and smart and loved. Her mom and daddy feel appreciated. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the praise team feels appreciated. The media team feels appreciated. The greeters at the door, the elders, the deacons, everybody that does, people do communion, take care of the babies, you're appreciated. Because if nobody told you today, I appreciate you. I know you've been wrestling, but guess what? You won. Ask him what your new name. You got a new name, and don't ever go back because Jesus loves you.
Okay, we were at a Bible study last night, and once again, I didn't, you know how the Holy Spirit works. He gets us up here to say something that we didn't plan on saying, but during the worship, I had my eyes closed. It was a song about, Rebecca, the song that "We Won't Be Shaken." I tried to find it to put it up there, but. And anyway, so I had my, out back here with the flag, I had my arms out, stretched wide, and I had my eyes closed, and this is what I'm trying, my arms were like this, but I was seeing heaven. I was seeing us. I saw light, and I felt like we were being ushered into heaven, and I got goosebumps from the head of top of my head to the soles of my feet. And the Bible study last night was talking about being ready. If we are watching and we are waiting for the Lord's return, either for us personally, you know, to go to heaven, or for us as the entire body. If we are watching and we are waiting, like me, there are times I'm laying in bed at night thinking, gosh, is tonight the night? Is tonight the night? Is this the night? Is this the day? And I felt that so strongly. And so this morning I was like, Lord, I am ready. When you're ready, I'm ready. I want to be ready, and I'm saying all this because the church in general, let's be ready. let's be ready, because wow, the world is shaking, from everything from the hurricanes to the bursts, the solar bursts, to the to just the earthquakes, to the volcanoes bubbling up in Hawaii. Just church, let's be ready. And so I laid there this morning and I was saying, Lord, I want to be ready. I mean, just because we want to, you know, do a, what's the word I'm trying to use? We want to be, examine ourselves. That's the word. Examine ourselves every day. Lord, forgive me. Anything that I've ever, anything, I don't know what it is, just anything, whatever it is, I want to be ready for you. So I just, and that's my word for today. In Jesus' mighty name, let's all be ready.
I just wanted to say one thing, because I know it's a thing that with a lot of people struggle about. It's sometimes hard to get lost in whatever the world wants or wants you to think. But I just wanted to let you know you can't lose sight of God whenever you feel like you're leaving or like you're leaving or not listening to him anymore. I want you to open your Bible or just pray or read with him. I'm not just saying for you, it's also for me, because I lose sight on him a lot with anger, with other things. It doesn't matter what it is, financially, drugs, cares of the world, anything else. Just remember how much he loves you. Like in the story in the Bible, it said the shepherd left all the 99 just to find one. That one could be you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I got blessed by that young man. Was hungry. He's hungry. Hallelujah. You know, who's old here? Who is old? Anybody old here? Huh? Is anybody old? No, we're not. You know, Caleb, you know, I admire Caleb, you know, he says, when I started with Moses, he says, I was 45 years old. I've been here, I'm 85 years old right now. But I feel like 40. Praise God. Why? Because God says that, you know, the word of God says that he will renew our youth like the eagles. And we claim that in the name of Jesus. And there's nobody can tell us different. Amen. And the devil's a liar. You know, praise God, you know, the world found something in me. And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Even the doctor says, you know, Reuben, I spent some time with the other doctor, you know, that examined you, you know, and I pull fluid out of your kidney and stuff like that. He says, you know, and we were together, you know, after you know, they did your test and everything. He says, I spent about from half an hour to 45 minutes with that doctor. You know, we talked about you. And you know, praise God. He says, you know, Reuben, you're a peculiar man. And I go, I know. Why? Because of what a God said so.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You know, and I claim it, you know, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
There is no sickness in this body, because that's a sword. It's a double-edged sword. It's piercing even to my heart.
Hallelujah.
To my heart, to my spirit, to my joints, into the marrow, and everything in my body.
And not bind any sickness or disease or trying to get into this body. Because you know why? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And I claim it in the name of Jesus. You see? I claim it in the name of Jesus. You know, I went for the second time over there to go work at the mines. They weren't the same people. So I wasn't, you know, I love the job they gave me and everything, you know, because, you know, it doesn't matter where they put me. You know, they says, you know, Reuben, you're a repairman. They call me a repairman. I was in there 40 years. And then I went to another year and a half. But the thing is, a repairman. Let me give you a definition of repairman. Of all due respect there, you know, because he was the assistant general foreman. You know, and I worked with him, you know, earlier, you know, he was a mechanic, I was a welder. But the thing is, I said, let me give you the definition of repairman. Right now you got me as a repairman, the shovels and drills. Okay? I repair dippers. I repair sticks on the dippers. I repair the boom on the shovel, point shifts, handrails, the house, the car body. And then if I go in the drills, I'll repair any crack in the or handrails or whatever's wrong with that shovel. And like that, I can go down to the truck shop. I can repair trucks. I can repair motor graders. I can repair crawlers. I can repair front end loaders. I can repair anything in there. And then I can go down to the mill and I can repair liners. I can repair agitators. I can repair anything that is broken in that place because I'm a welder. You see? And I claim that. That's what I call repairman. Shut up! You're a repairman. And he took off. But he's a good friend of mine. But the thing is that when God gives you wisdom and you follow what God says, I was there, you know, and there was Duval, and then there was Cypress, and then there was Speedy, and then there was Freeport, right now, McMoran. And I was there, those four mines, okay? And the thing is, I always have put my trust in the Lord that, you know, I saw something in Exodus where it says, and out of the ground, you should dig brass. Brass is copper. Okay? So in other words, out of the ground, you know, people say, no, we got the lowest ore body in the world. Okay? I says, okay, we do. But Lord, you know what it takes me back this place? Takes me back to Israel. Israel's the smallest nation in the world. And it's God's property. Yeah. It's God's land. And anything, like the Bible says during the Armageddon, it says that he's going to take all these people to that place. He says that all those nations that came against Israel, he's going to take care of it. Amen. And I claim it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, people can talk about Jews and stuff like that. I'm a Jew.
Thank you.
I'm a spiritual Jew. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we all are. And we pray for Israel. And we claim Israel.
Thank you.
And I love Israel. Amen. Praise God.
How many love being in the presence of God? Hallelujah. Can I, you know, sometimes I just wonder how folks can even sit still when you're in the presence of God. How many of you know that God, hallelujah, God says, looking at us, he said, man, are you going to worship me or not? Are you going to watch over me? Are you going to sing songs to my name? Are you going to glorify me? Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I will say that God is worthy of all the praise and the glory and the honor we can give him. I will say that I will say like David, I'll be even more vile than this, is what he told his wife. Is that right? because I will worship the Lord because he's worthy of praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. I'm lost in his mystery. I'm lost in his mystery. It's a mystery why he picked me. I don't know why, but he did. Ooh, hallelujah. I don't know why, but he called me. He said, you are not a minor. You're a pastor. And you can't, I can't bless what you are pretending to be. Hallelujah. The other day I was reading Zechariah. He says, Henry, you're a farmer. I'm a farmer. I like to rake. Does anybody like to rake? I like to rake. Some people say, nah, I don't want to rake at all. Well, I like raking because it's something you can do. You can stay engaged with what you're doing without staying engaged with your mind. You know what I mean? You just drag a rake. And while I'm dragging this rake, God begins to speak to me. He says, you're a farmer. You plant seed. You water the seed. You plant more seed. You water the seed. You plant more seed and you water the seed. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we're all farmers? We're all farmers. We're all called to plant seed. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, I love it. What I couldn't imagine about my life, God is doing it. It's not me, it's him. Can you say amen? Same with you. What you can't imagine about what he has for you, he has it for you. You see, you can't even imagine it. Isn't that weird? Sounds like one of the, what do they call those, oxymorons? What you can't imagine, he's got it for you. Imagine that. Isn't that weird? That's a weird word. But that's what God is saying. You can't imagine what I have for you. You can't even imagine. Paul said he was taken up into heaven, like what was it, Sister Liz was talking about being pulled up into heaven or seeing heaven. Paul talks about it. He said, I saw things I can't even describe in my own words. Folks, we serve a God. We can't imagine what he has for us. What little bit that we've seen, he's got so much more for us. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Hey, I got a word for you this morning. I feel like God wants to speak to your heart this morning. How many say amen? God wants to sprinkle what you got already, and he also wants to open some new things to you. Can you say amen to that? How many like new cars? Nobody likes new cars? Man, I like new cars. I was telling my youth group, I was telling the leaders this morning, I love new cars. I just don't buy them. Can't afford them. Hallelujah. How many like new stuff, new things? Can I tell you, with God, don't get stuck on the old stuff that you've been going on. Allow him to give you new things. Can you say amen? I mean, God always has something new. Trouble is with Christians, a lot of times we figure we already know the Bible. No, you don't. You've got no idea what's written in those scriptures. Can you say amen to that? God reveals things to us. Can you say? Did you guys say, you know what I'm saying? He reveals things to us. And a lot of times it's what you're going through in your life is the best time to get a revelation from God. Can you say amen? God speaks in trouble. He speaks in times of distress. He speaks to you. He shows you things. Hallelujah. That's why we're caught in a mystery. We're in a mystery. Hallelujah. But one of the things about this mystery, I guarantee you that it's God helping you and building you no matter what it feels like. That's just who he is. He knows you. The Bible says he knows how much you can take. Can you say amen to that? Oh, man. God is not only good, but he's always good. Always good. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, let's go to the Word of God. Thank you, guys. Oh, hallelujah. You can play all day long, brother. You can want to. I like music. I like it in the background. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. Today we're talking about translating. How many like going someplace where you can't understand the language? Anybody like that? No, not really. But you need a translator, is that right? Now, the power verse today, can you put up the power verse, Terry? It's our power verse today is 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Which has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you see that word has made? Hath made, this King James talk, hath made, you want to get it, but it's has made. See, it's already a done deal. Do you get that? In God's time frame, it's already done. He has made you partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What inheritance is that? Oh, get ready. Just get ready. There's an inheritance coming. Look at your neighbor and say, I got an inheritance coming. Look at the, and tell them back, so do I. Huh. You got an inheritance coming. And then it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And as that word translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Woo. There's a lot being said right there, folks. He has delivered you from the power of darkness. Oh, gosh. I didn't plan to do this at the beginning. I had it part for later on. I said, okay, I'll talk about it. You know, we make plans. Is that right? I used to have it on my door as a planner at the mine. God, we plan, God laughs. Is that right? You can make all the plans you want, but God says, yeah, we'll see. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Check your plans with him first and then watch how your plans come alive. He's delivered us from the power of darkness into and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, God, there's so much in this. Listen, I'm just going to throw this out there right away because it might shut some of you off. You might say, okay, I'm not going to listen to any more that he has to say. But it says, has delivered us from the power of darkness. A lot of people, a lot of Christians think that's the devil. And I will tell you, I don't even like talking about that thing in our church. But, you know, you got to, it takes the Spirit of God to work within you so you begin to see what's happening. You begin to understand what God is doing and what he's saying. Can I tell you that the devil is not a god? He has never been God. The Bible says the God of this world. He's not talking about the devil. I'm talking about something else. Hopefully I might get to that today. But the power of darkness. Well, you know what it's like when you just don't know what's going to happen? In creeps this little thing called anxiety and fear. All these different things, all these things begin to creep into your life. And what you need is a word from God. Is that right? Folks, I don't care where you're at in your life. If you're not seeking God, you are doing yourself a tremendous disfavor. Because God has, by his Spirit, told us that I will lead you and guide you. I will take you to what you need to know. The power of darkness is not that old boy. It is fear and doubt and all of those things because they have power over you. They will take a hold of you. Can you say amen? Don't let it. Don't let it. The word says you need light. I was talking to Oscar and he goes, LOL. We get afraid of things because there's a lack of light. LOL. There's no light within us. But the more of the word of God you begin to pull in, the more of God that you begin to listen to, I'll tell you what, all of those places where fear and doubt would try to enter in, there's a word for it. God's taking care of me. Yeah, your bills aren't paid. God's taking care of me. His promise is real. They are more real today than what you actually see out there. Can you say amen? The reality of God is stronger than what we can see with our eyes. Can you say amen? We got to get that. We got to understand that. We got to go for it. Can you say amen? How many like when Jesus talked?
Oh, yeah.
I love it when Jesus talked. I like it when he would confront the Pharisees. You like that?
Yeah.
I love it. I love to look at that stuff because he made them look silly. Silly. Because they were confronted with something. Can I tell you, when Jesus was walking and all the Pharisees, not all of them, but some of them, most of them were accusing him of stuff. You know what that was? It was fear. It was a lack of light that these guys were walking in. If they would just listen, Jesus would have opened things up to them, but they wouldn't. You know that Jesus wasn't really mean to them? When he calls you, you're a serpent. When he told them that, he was telling them the truth. Truth always feels weird. Can you say amen? Truth always has this little thing. If it's coming into you, if it's coming into your heart, when God said, you're not a miner. Well, I'm working in the mines. What are you talking about? You're not a miner. You are a pastor. Hit me like an arrow. And see, God's truth does that. It changes changes everything. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to go. So when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, how many of you know the Pharisees were in out? They couldn't understand him. Yeah. Hey, when he talked, even the disciples couldn't understand him. What? We talked about watch this. Let's go to Mark, I think it is. I'm going to take you into Mark chapter 4. Hey, this was really good when God was giving it to me last night. I hope I can get it out because he was, I would just finish a thought and saying, God, that's good. And then he'd give me something else. I go, oh, God, that's good. But listen real good. Take notes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Say, well, for the rest of you that are not writing, you know, listen to it again. But check it out. Here it goes. Starting in Mark chapter 4. Starting at verse 1, it says, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them by many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, hearken, listen, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass that as he sowed, some fell on the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. Can you say amen for the good ground? Yeah, let's go. Yeah, tell me about the good ground. Yeah, let's go. Some fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased. That's a good word right there. Can I tell you, when you're producing fruit, can I just tell you about increase? Increase will begin to happen in your life because you're fruitful. Not in the things of the world, but in the things of God. And increase begins to come upon you and begins to overtake you. That's what he talked about in the Old Testament. He said, if you will seek after the Lord your God, these blessings will come after you and they will overtake you. How many want to be overtaken by the blessing of God? Can I just say this? You are already overtaken by the blessing of God just by knowing Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Just because Jesus, you know that Christ died for you. He spilled his blood so that you can be clean.
Amen.
Just knowing that, the blessings have already overtaken you.
Yeah.
It might sound kind of weird to what I said, but it's true. It's truth. Other seed fell upon good ground and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. if you read it in Matthew, he calls it mysteries. In Matthew, he places a plural on the mystery because there are a lot of mysteries. How many say amen to that? There's a lot of mysteries that God has for us. But this, just in this one, Jesus is saying, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You see, Jesus was not talking in a foreign language when he told them the parable of the sower. He was talking to them in their language. But you see, one thing we can see very clearly, they needed a translator. Oh, they're going, oh, man, you're saying some things, but we don't get it. We don't get it. And then Jesus tells them, you know what? It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Can you say amen? How many of you know? How many of you know for a fact that it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Because the world thinks these things are silly. Can you say amen to that? The world thinks when they hear us tell us, you better not go against Israel, they think it's silly. I was telling Pastor John, I was listening to Netanyahu. It's kind of a weird name, isn't it? It sounds like a nitwit Yahoo, but he's not. He's really not because I watched. I was just interested in what the last thing he said to the UN. Did anybody see his speech to the UN? Did anybody see it?
Yep.
I couldn't believe. The ladies had their meeting, and it was called the Wisdom Women of Wisdom. Is that right? What it was called? John, wisdom, and they were talking about wisdom. Our thing was a man of wisdom, and I don't know why it was just on my heart so much about wisdom. But when I watched this man talk about his country at the UN,
yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, I felt the presence of God in my living room. I sensed His holy presence because this man was saying, "Look, I'm not here. I'm not here." He actually said, I didn't want to come. I wasn't going to come today. He says, but because of the lies that have been spread in this building about my country and my people, I'm here today. And he spoke. If you get a chance, he spoke. It was at the end of September. He spoke about Israel. And one thing he said, and I loved his confidence, because he goes, you've got to know. He told the Iranians, we know where you're at. We're going to get you. Come on, somebody. He said, that's exactly what he says, we will win. Can I tell you that Israel is standing pretty much by herself right now? The United States not doing much about her. Oh, Netanyahu. I told Netanyahu, right?
Yeah.
Netanyahu. Thank you. This man's a man of wisdom. Godly wisdom. He's a man that has been called to lead his nation, to govern his nation by God himself. How many believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And I will tell you, Netanyahu told his generals, when I go into that UN building and I begin my speech, I want six of their aircraft to fly over and to bomb this one place where they knew all the leaders, of most of the upcoming leaders of the terrorists would be at. Guess who didn't tell? Guess who he didn't even make a mention of? And then now you came out and he goes, you know what? Yeah. He didn't tell us. He didn't let Biden know. Biden came out and said, I didn't know they were going to do this, folks. Yeah, he did it on his own. Yeah, of course he did it on his own.
Yeah, of course.
Because every time he told the U.S., he said in his speech, I'm tired of being looked at by the nations and saying, hey, we're just trying to protect ourselves. He said, if they were to tell him, if you get a chance, look at it, because he says, if those terrorists, if they attacked San Diego or El Paso, I don't know why he named those two towns. I don't know why. Maybe he's been to them, I guess. I don't know. But he said, if there were to attack San Diego or El Paso, how quick would your government respond to get them out? And you're telling us that we can't do it. Oh, he says, they're on their own, folks. But they have a mighty God that's behind them. Because God has said, I will always be faithful to Israel. Whew, hallelujah. Folks, we are seeing very quickly things happening over there in that area. They're happening. And we can't just be la, la, la about it. Can you say amen to that? I would say tell some of your loved ones, hey, man, you need to check out what's happening. You're going to see God's hand like you've never seen it because of what's going on over there. I told Pastor Jonathan, I think I'll play it. It's a 30-minute thing. But God wouldn't let me. He said, talk about it. Let them know. Just like Reuben said, I'm a Jew. How many know we're all Jews? We're Jewish. Yeah. Because let me just give you a little reason why. You died at the cross. And Christ came within you. And Christ is a Jew. He's Jewish. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You are a chosen people. You are specifically plucked out. Ooh, God, I'll take this one. See, imagine God going through like going through the grocery store. I'll take John Valero. Yeah, I'll take Randy Higa. Yeah, I'll take Aaron. Yeah, I'll take him. I'll take Wilma Posada. I'll take Steve Allen. I'll take Terry Gill. Can you imagine him and putting them all over here?
Yeah, chosen.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
God picked you. You're chosen by God. And it's not because... I had a friend, his name was Bob Baker, a sheriff here in Green Valley. And he said, you know what? I think God messed up. I said, why is that? Because he always wore this big 10-gallon hat. Does anybody know about Bob Baker? Yeah. He had a big 10-gallon hat, and he rode horses all the time. He goes, I think God messed up. I should have been born in the 1800s. I said, no, God never messes up. You're here, ladies and gentlemen, because God has something for you. If you're breathing, he's got something for you. Can you say amen to that? He wants you to get active. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He wants you to do something for the kingdom. Woo, because you're a citizen of this kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Woo, hallelujah. Ah, Lord, hallelujah. But God says, Jesus says, these are mysteries and they've been given to us to learn. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this. Look at this word. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Does God hold secrets? Apparently. He says, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Hallelujah. The revelation of what God has for you. They belong to us and our children. Can you say amen to that? Whatever God's given you, give it to your children. Speak it to your children. The Word of God tells us, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, does that mean, well, I just take them to church. Let them go to Sunday school. Let him go into youth group or everything. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the nurture and admonition. How many know kids most of the time can't catch the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How many know that? They're too busy playing with their iPhone. Kids? No, I don't know about kids. Maybe they're too busy playing with their little toys or whatever. But the nurture and admonition is that you as a parent, grandparent, grandmother, what God gives you, you give it to them. You speak it into their lives. He reveals something to you. Say, hey, kids, come here, kids. God has revealed something to me. Listen to this. And tell them, let them know. Because I will tell you, I've told my kids some of the things that God has revealed to me. Now, right, Becca? And they'll look at me and say, what? You're kidding, right? No, I'm not kidding. This is what God's revealed to me. God will reveal his word, his plans, his the things he has for you. He'll reveal them to you. You don't need to go to some prophet somewhere. Can you say amen to that? See, the church has been brought up in a way where we think we've got to go to men for our answers. And God is saying, no, no, no. You're rejecting the very thing that I've given you to lead you and guide. And his name is the Holy Ghost. I had a lady tell us one time we were up at First Assembly and they said, can we pray for you? And she goes, no, I'm saving it for Benny Hinn. What? Okay. All right. Folks, it's a lack of light. It really is. It's a lack of light because God wants to talk to you personally. Terry, I'm gonna challenge you. Terry, I'm sorry, bro. Hey, can you bring Micah chapter 4, verse 2 up? Look at this is what God is saying to us today. Look, we are in time where it says many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Do you know that you are a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem? Amen. You are the heavenly Zion. The word will go forth from you if you let him teach you. Hallelujah. Folks, we are the concept of what we've been grown up in allowing, well, wanting to go and say, but sir, do you have a word for me? God might say to you, dude, I got a word for you. Why don't you ask me? Can you say amen? Because that's what God wants. He wants a personal relationship with you. And you and him, you two, and then he places you in a body and he uses the gifts that he's given you to minister to that body and to the city where you're at. Can you say amen to that? That sign, you can't read it, huh, Pastor? There's a sign above the door. Everybody, if you get it on your way out, take a look at it. It says that we are independently dependent upon God. Independently dependent on him and no none other. Can you say amen? I will tell you, when you're in having problems, nobody can save you like God. You got to go to him. Terry, Isaiah, if you will, chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Many people shall go and say, come ye. It almost sounds like the same verse, doesn't it? Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. Is that the same word? Isn't it funny how he would give Isaiah, and then he would give another prophet, Micah, to say the exact same thing. Yeah. Why? Because he wants us to go to him. Hallelujah. Henry is a farmer. He throws seed. Hallelujah. And he waters the seed. But God is the one that gives seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. We've got to understand this, folks. I will tell you that I sense the Lord saying we are too busy on the internet. We've got to find out everything that every pastor ever put it away. Get in your closet. Get in your closet. Find out what God is saying to you. Because I will tell you, when you find out what God's saying to you, you'll walk with a confidence that you never had. Because he's speaking it to you. You'll go to places that you never thought you'd go because he's speaking it to you. He's telling you. He's leading you by his spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Boy, this sounds like a reprimand, don't it? Praise God. His rod and his staff, they comfort me because when I get whipped by God, hallelujah, I get comfort. I get comfort when he whips me and shows me and corrects me. Hallelujah. My grandkids won't understand that when I correct them. But I ain't God. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Hallelujah. These guys, they needed a translator. Jesus said, hey, these mysteries are open for you guys. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. See, when Jesus came and when he died, he did something, though. So he opened things up. Can you say amen to that? Remember in Revelation where it says, I heard a voice crawling, and it said, calling in the midst of heaven, who is worthy to open the book? You guys remember that? Who is worthy to open the book? And the Bible says that there was nobody. Nobody answered. And John says, I began to weep. And then the angel standing next to me said, hey, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed, and he will open the book. Hallelujah. Folks, can I tell you, God wants to open the book for you. He wants to reveal to you the things that he's that have been hidden from the ages. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Check this out. Check this out. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, unto you Gentiles, I better slow down. Get a little bit. I will tell you, I can't get too excited because my eyesight, it begins to go this way. The words begin to move around. So I love it when I'm home because I got two wives. Hey, sweetie. Hey, I'm sorry. It said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. For who? For us, yeah. If you have heard of the dispensation or the distribution of the grace of God, what's the grace of God? The Spirit of God is grace. Amen. He's grace. The distribution of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation, how do you reveal it? But how did he give it to him? By revelation. He made known to me the mystery. Folk, the translator was working with Paul. He made known to him the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Why? Because God revealed it to him. Is that okay? Yep. That's why that's in there. Then it says, which in other ages was not known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Praise God. See, God's intent is for the whole world. But God so loved the world that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same, listen, the what? Same body. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Can you say amen? Are you glad you're a partaker? Huh. I could sit in that a little while. You see, because I am a partaker. You're a partaker. You might not get what he's saying, but sometimes it takes a little bit to understand. Sometimes you got to walk through some things, but you need to understand that you are a partaker, of the promise of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 3. Here is an incredible revelation of what God is doing in the midst of his believers. This is Paul saying, Paul speaking. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, like I say, or the distribution of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been, what? Hid from the from ages and from generations, but now, everybody say now. Now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches, everybody say riches, riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, among us, which is Christ in you. No big deal. Oh, no, bro. Oh, no, bro. No, sis. This is a huge, huge deal. This is a huge thing that Christ would dwell in you. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that. Big deal. Is it a big deal? Would you say it's a big deal? Would you tell somebody it's a big deal? I mean, because sometimes, folks, I will tell you, people don't get you. You walk up to them and say, hey, man, I'm going to tell you a mystery, right? God's in me.
Oh, praise God.
What? They said, man, something's in you for sure. This is a big deal with God. For you to understand what the gospel has brought to you is a big deal. God wants you to know without a doubt that it's him dwelling in you, that you died at the cross. Can you say amen? You died with him at the cross. Jesus died. The Bible says he took his sins upon it, our sins upon him. You died when he died. I wasn't even there. That's right. That's right. But God knows the end from the beginning. He looked down and he said, I get it. From the beginning of the world, you're sitting among the potatoes. And he said, I'm going to take that one. You're sitting among the strawberries. I'm going to take that one. You're sitting among the lemons. I'm going to take that one. You see, he knew you even before you were even a... He knew you. That's hard for us to understand. And what's even harder for us to understand is that his plan is still working and it's taking you somewhere. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Do you know that? Without a doubt, don't let it go because it's important. Because it says there's a riches of glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man, what does it say? Perfect. Well, Paul says that you are to be presented perfect. Stop saying that you're not perfect. You died. That part of you died. But Christ is in you. He's perfect. You're not. Can you say amen? Can you agree with that? Why aren't you perfect? You're dead. You're dead.
Yes.
But Christ is dwelling in you. What does it say in Galatians? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, this is the greatest thing right here, listen to this. The life that I now live, because you're dead, you have to live it by the faith of Christ that dwells in you. His faith, not yours. Can you say, sometimes you got to look at the word, okay? That's kind of a weird one right there, but I'm going to tell you, it's not about your faith at all. Isn't that right, Pastor John? Not about your faith. He gives you just enough faith. The Bible says he gives you a measure of faith. He gives you just enough faith to believe in Christ. And when you believe in Christ, the Bible says all things pass away and all things become new. Even the faith that you got to get there passes away. And now God gives you something new. He gives you his faith. Because it's Christ in you. Can you say amen to that? If you begin to listen, folks, see, this is one of the things about the body of Christ. We don't understand. We don't get the magnitude of what God has done within us. We are the body of Christ in the earth. There is nothing. If we're connected with the head of this body, can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians out there that aren't even connected to the head. They call themselves Christians, but yet the head might tell them to go do something, they go and do it. The head might say, "Go, I want you to do this." No, they won't do it. "I want you to pray tonight." They won't do it. I want you to give some money over that. They won't do it. Woo. Because they want to say, you know, in Isaiah, it says that 10 women will grab a hold of one man. Have you seen that scripture? 10 women will grab a hold of one man. And you know what they tell him? We'll eat our own bread and we'll wear our own clothes. See, that's what the church is doing. They're grabbing a hold of Christ, but they're eating their own. They only eat what they want to eat. They want to be clothed with only what they want to be clothed with. Where God is saying, "No, I've got food for you. I've got clothing for you," but you're rejecting it. Can you say amen to that? Woo, hallelujah. Folks, it's not me. Don't get mad at me if you're getting mad. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God speaking to the body of Christ today. We need to grow up. We need the growth of the Spirit of God within us. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Where was I? Oh. That he might present every man perfect in Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This is chapter 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts, this is what he's having conflict, he wants them to know, that their hearts being comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, right? He wants them to get this. I want them to get this. I want them to have the full assurance of understanding what we're saying to them. And he says, the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, which he's talking about is Christ in you. Oh. He wants you to have a full acknowledgement of that. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Look at your neighbor and say, "Christ is in me." Christ is in me. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. I'm sorry, we just went through that. So I want to go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 13, where Jesus begins to translate. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He begins to translate the parable of the sower. And I just looked at the clock. Now I'm going to give you just a little bit, and because, like I said, I got till 1:30. Can you say amen? You guys are like, no. I just want you to see something. Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 19 says this, and he said to them, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower sows what? The word." Folks, you are sowers. We're all sowers. You sow the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution, then remember Jesus said, hey, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown by among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares, listen, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I just want to say something to you about this. What I said earlier about Satan, Jesus just mentioned him, is that right? He said, they don't, well, can you go back to that? I need to go over that word a little bit. Take a look at this. 19, verse 18, verse He said to them, "Know ye not this parable? How will you know all parables? So is the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and they have heard, and Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts." You see, when you look up Satan and all those things, and because I just want to say this to you. Here's the Greek word for Satan. It means accuser. Hebrew means opponent. Means to attack or resist or accuse. Greek for devil is diabolos.
Diablos.
My mom used to say, you got a diablo. Yeah, Mom. The Greek word for devil is diabolos. It means a traducer. Does anybody know what a traducer is? I didn't either. It means one who attacks the reputation of another by slander. Oh, buddy, we're walking on some weird stuff here. You see, I'm going to present something to you. What if the Satan that he's talking about is your own mind? Oh, man. Because if you look at the rest of this stuff, he says, in comes the thorns. I mean, the thorns has the cares of this world and all these other things. It's all about me, folks. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's self. Self. How many times have you heard the word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together and running over. And then what do we say? Yeah, but I don't have no money. You see, your own mind came against the word that was sown in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, the parable of the sower is Jesus is talking about the seed that enters the heart. The heart. Isn't that what it says right there? And takes away the word that was sown in their heart. How many of you know that God looks at your heart and not anyplace else? He watches what's going on in your heart. And then we have all those terms for that, what we call the devil may be done. That's you. It's you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Are you understanding what the Holy Spirit is saying this morning? He says it's time that we understand, that we shed some light on what God has been saying the whole time. You've got no opponent but yourself. The way you think, the way you've been brought up, the way you talk, you've got no opponent. Get rid of that stuff. And watch what the Holy Spirit will do with your life. Ooh, come on, man. That's why it's so important that we read the word. That's why it's so important that we look at what God is saying to us personally. Oh, my God. Ooh, hallelujah. Then he says this. He says, but there's some good ground out there. How many say amen? How many want to be good ground? If you want to be good ground, why don't you raise up your hand? Well, if you want to be, if you really want to be good ground, put them both up. I said, Lord, I need. Yes. Hallelujah. Then there's good ground. It says, Mark 4:20 says this. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which such as hear the word and receive it. And bring forth fruit. You see that word right there, receive? They receive the word. What is the word? Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. But the word that I speak to you, it's spirit. And it's truth. John chapter 1, verse 12, is that what it is, Terry? As many as received him, the word. To them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. This is called, folks, I'm going to tell you how this is called fruitful living. Sons of God. He gives you the power. The power, his name is the Holy Ghost. He's not number three in the tier. Oh, listen, he's not number three. You know, you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Number three is in the tier. No. They're all one. You cannot separate them. And when the Holy Spirit, when he prays through you, It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost praying through you. The creativity of God is creating the things that he desires in the earth, if you will allow him. Can you say amen? Let's all stand up. I got more, but it's already 12:03. And your roast is burning. 3 minutes in. Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God. Father, as we go, Father, I just pray, Father God, that no one's mind, no one's thoughts and thinking would rob the word that was sown in their hearts today, God. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing today in this world. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven overtake and overrule the earth. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Give somebody a hug. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.